We have a presentation.
Presentation by Scheiden Bachman regarding the new Milwaukee County Transit System fare collection system. Informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Introduce yourselves to the committee and proceed, please.
Simon Talbot, Vice President, Scheiden Bachman.
Peter Moran, DBE Administrator, and I work on contracts.
All right. Go ahead.
Thank you. I have a short presentation this morning to outline the fare collection system. Why not? Madam Clerk, do you have PowerPoint on this laptop?
It's right there. It's right there on the left.
I'll try and be very brief. I was asked by the MCTS staff to discuss, among other things, the project timeline, to really focus on the project timeline. So as we sit here, I wanted to introduce it by talking about standard product or standard system, try and explain what we're implementing here for MCTS. An example of a standard product, Microsoft Windows, off the shelf. Basically, we install it. There's no configuration required and no design required. Example of a standard system that is fairly well known is SAP. Also an off-the-shelf style product. However, modular system requires significant configuration and is ultimately designed to or installed to meet customer needs based upon specification and design reviews. And with SAP, unlike something like Microsoft Windows, there is a very lengthy project implementation timeline.
Please define acronyms.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon me.
SAP acronym.
SAP is, that's the name of the company, ma'am. It's not an acronym. It's a accounting and business process application. So what did MCTS buy? In terms of hardware, standard product, fare boxes being the majority of the product that have been installed in many other agencies around the country, across the country, and software. And the software is customized to meet MCTS requirements based upon the specification provided to us during the RFP process and design reviews that the project teams are going through. One of the things that we wanted to mention to you this morning is that with the smart card implementation, it's not just a new, it's not just a replacement of a fare box similar to what the transit system is using now, but you are increasing flexibility and introducing new choices both for the agency and for your customers. What else do we need to know? Policies and procedures. MCTS needs to adapt to a new operating environment. There are many decisions that need to be made by the transit system in order to accommodate the new system, and there are several test cycles that we go through as a project team to get to implementation. You know, we follow software configuration best practices, and this requires us truly to go through many, many test cycles. What does this mean for MCTS management? Higher level of complexity, a lot more available within the system, but requires also a lot more administrative understanding of how to operate the system. Increased level of reporting availability and increased choices long term for the system, such as with the various tariffs that could be introduced or different tariffs that could be introduced. For bus operators, reduced handling of fare media, faster boarding, and for MCTS customers, which are probably the most important, simplicity, ease of use, and flexibility. Very briefly, I won't go into all of this, but I wanted to give you an outline of one of the phases that we go through in the project, so the system design phase. Within that system design phase, there are 26 distinct design documents that have to be created. All of these documents need to be created by Scheiden Bachman, need to be submitted through meetings with MCTS project staff, need to be submitted Quite often there's follow-up meetings to understand those design documents, and they, many of them go through a revision process. I'm not going to name all of them, but if you think about third-party interface descriptions, those would be unique to MCTS only. Installation drawings for all bus types. There's three different bus types in this project. Overall system architecture. We need to design a system that will fit within the existing architecture at MCTS. A couple of similar projects and the timelines for those similar projects. If we look at Metro in St. Louis, we started the project September 30th, 2011. The farebox installation is scheduled to be completed July of 2013, 22 months, with smart card integration later in 2014. PAC, Port Authority in Pittsburgh, we began the project in March 20th, 2009. Farebox installation was complete May of 2011. 26 months, with the smart card go live March of 2012, this past year, 36 months later. And City of Phoenix, Valley Metro Rail, and RPTA, Farebox and Smart Card System, we began that project January 9, 2006, with installation complete and go live October 2007, 22 months. If we look at the
Yeah, I have a question about the last slide.
No, let them
go through the whole thing? Okay.
Go through this whole presentation.
If we look at the current MCTS project schedule, we began the project July of this year, 2012. Farebox installation is scheduled for fourth quarter 2013, 15 to 18 months, with smart card rollout scheduled for first quarter 2014. And I just wanted to show you the project timelines illustration that we are slightly faster than our best project so far in terms of timeline. And significantly faster than the Port Authority. Future capabilities within the system that are should be important for you. Flexibility for long term. The system is not just a new fare box; it is a new system. Introduction of new fare products and policies are capable within the system. Introduction of new device types, such as fare vending machines or self-service devices, and the flexibility to upgrade to accept different forms of payment. The base is already there within the system. The flexibility is built for the future. Thank you.
Now, do you have the present at 1 minute?
Yes, sir, I do.
And then we're going to start. Committee will have questions for you.
Okay.
There's a number of questions right now.
I'm going to show a very brief video right now. You're going to see in the video an outline of, you're going to see fare boxes. You'll see people boarding buses and tapping cards at the fare box. You'll also see some things that currently in the project we're not doing but are available for future upgrades, such as rear door loading, such as credit card payments or open payment applications that are within this video presentation. Just background music, so.
You actually tell me what
Yeah, that's the operator control unit that the bus operator will be using. This is that was an example of some rear door loading. This is another example of a validator that's placed at the rear door to accommodate rear door loading. An example of a gated system. This is really illustrating open payment using credit cards at various different devices, fare boxes, vending machines, gates. And now you're going to see a vaulting application. No tethered wire, which is the current setup. The vaulting system is accessed via the smart card. Has to be obviously a specialized smart card that has to be activated with security features. And you're going to see the vaulting technician use a or go to a through-the-wall vault. In the project here, it's going to be a standalone vault in the garages, but it's basically the same operation. The technician puts it in, presses a button, and walks away.
What was the 14443 compatibility? What was that about?
So that's a feature. 14443 is a standard that smart cards are based upon. Our smart card reader implemented in the system reads 14443 type cards. New credit cards, new contactless credit cards, as an example, use the 14443 standard. So it's a standard-based reader so that it gives you the flexibility to upgrade in the future for other types of payments.
So is this not a magnetic strip?
It's not a magnetic. It's a contactless.
Is there a chip in there?
There is a chip in it.
Okay. Is there any cash payment at all in this system?
There is cash payment at the fare box available. I think that you need to still accept cash for customers that don't carry the card. The system... accepts cash, both bills and coins, at the fare box as your existing fare boxes do.
And that's part of the reason for the vault takeout?
Yes, that is the vault, yes.
When they do that vault takeout, is it also reading all of those transactions from the cards, et cetera?
Yeah, there's within the system, there's shift reports that get transferred wirelessly into the back-end database. And when you do, there are various times that those shift reports can be transferred. One of the times is when the vault is done. There's also a transponder on the back of the vault so that when the vault is removed from the fare box and it gets placed into the cash receiver module, it knows what bus it came from. It's got an ID, so all of the transactions are linked appropriately.
Can have any of the cities that you've worked with done totally cashless systems?
No.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Sylvia Bowen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I had a question about the other clients from other cities. Were those metro and bus transit locations, or were there any locations like ours where it's just bus system?
St. Louis is bus only for our product. City of Phoenix is bus only. Valley Metro Rail is bus and light rail.
And then my second question, Mr. Chair, the unloading of the cash boxes, so is that an automatic system where does it count the cash and the money that comes out of it on its own, or is that just a input system where it just goes into the central location where cash is collected?
It's just a collection system. It's a secure collection system.
Gotcha.
It doesn't count. It reports what should be in there.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Wow. Before going, can you explain the time limit, why the time limit is so long? And that's one of the concerns I thought was going to be brought up so far. can you explain that, please?
Sorry, the time of the project, sir?
Yes, from the beginning to end. Why is it taking so long to get our product here and to our stations so our customer could change into another one?
Yeah, it's just the complexity of the change. We're not talking about just replacing a fare box with a like fare box, only with new, let's say, reading components within it or new electromechanical components in it. We're implementing a new system. There are many decisions that need to be made by MCTS. We start with a specification from the RFP, but that is not the final specification of the system. It's a baseline that is identified and that we bid against and that was accepted by MCTS. But at then the project teams need to get together to understand how the system will be implemented specifically within your environment. There is no other environment that is specifically like MCTS anywhere. So although in my presentation we talked about hardware, if all we were doing was hardware, the timeline of the project would be very short. But we are not just doing hardware, we are doing a system. We're changing, introducing a new form of payment, which will change the operating environment, which will introduce new requirements for administration. And there are many, many decisions that have to be made around, you know, how are current tariffs handled within the new system. Are there any new tariffs that you want to introduce within the system? Are there any new types of passes that you want to introduce within the system? So I'm just trying to say that it's significantly complex, a lot more complex than just replacing hardware.
Can you explain, and Supervisor Lipscomb, you be next, what is the tariff?
Sorry, the tariff is the fares that are paid by the customers, but it encompasses a lot more than that. It includes the what is displayed to the customer when they tap a card or insert a bill into the machine. What is the type of pass products that are available to the customers? So tariff is really the fares that the customers ultimately pay, and how those fares react within the system.
So I'll listen to you on the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Questions about the sort of the life cycle of the product, and whether, given the timeline that of implementation, whether we're basically getting the last generation, and sort of how long this thing is expected to be current, and then talk about the upgrading. And it sounds like you sort of know where some of this fair stuff is going, but that's not the system we're buying. That's all an upgrade in terms of contactless credit card, in terms of other fare medium. So
your system that you're getting is state of the art. It's the most current fare box that Scheidenbachmann develops, and we are a leading developer of these systems globally. The Scheidenbachmann design architecture is modular, so that throughout your product lifecycle, you have the capability to upgrade new capabilities by swapping out modules, by updating the software, for example. The Scheidenbachmann Smart Card Reader itself is capable to read contactless credit cards. That's not something that was part of this procurement. So it's not that you're not getting contactless credit card capability in this procurement, but it is absolutely something that's built into the architecture of the system.
So, Mr. Chairman, so yeah. Physically, we have
Correct.
Everything we need for that. It's a
Correct.
It's a software module upgrade or something to allow us to do that. And
it's a little bit more technical than that, but physically, the card reader is capable of it. The card payment industry, in order to meet certain regulations, requires you to have secure access modules, which are basically security chips that get physically inserted into those card readers. So that's from a hardware perspective. Mm-hmm. Those have to be added, and then software has to be updated. Correct.
All right. And then in terms of that life cycle, can you?
Yes.
What's the timeline on?
Yeah, the fare boxes, from a life cycle perspective, life cycle is expected to be 7 to 10 years, but with modular upgrades that can allow the life cycle to be much, much longer than that. We have customers that follow life cycle management programs where we are replacing modules on a prior to them reaching end of life to extend their fare boxes, 15, 20 years.
In terms of the actual card, I'm sorry, in terms of the card, Mr. Chairman, question is the security of the card.
Yes.
Are we aware of this being hacked or breached, that people are able to, get around and, program these cards or anything? Or
the Scheidenbachmann, not only the card and the security with it that's on the card. But the Shiny Bachman system has many features built into it to also watch for any type of attack. And no, we're not aware of any successful attack of the Shiny Bachman system.
Okay. And then will we have the flexibility to reprogram that tariff system, or will that be an added service? Anytime we make a fare change, we'll need to contract for that? Or
you will have the flexibility to do that internally if you so choose. One of the things is that the tariff system can be quite complicated, and most of our customers, although they want that up front, they don't do it every day, whereas we have staff that do it every day. And most of our customers find that over time, when you're doing it once a year, for example, it's much easier or much safer for them to have something that's going to update and touch all of your customers to go through us. So we will obviously offer the service, but there's also the capability in-house if you so choose.
Okay. And then finally, we had some discussion about sort of what were the next generations that we were seeing, and you know, many of us have obviously seen mobile payment exploding, and I'm wondering what is the capability with that, and is that a module you already have developed or something you're working on?
So mobile payment is a very interesting discussion that would take, I think, a lot longer than what we have here. There are no standards around mobile payment yet. If we are talking about NFC, which is basically having a chip in your phone and having your phone act as a smart card, that's using that 14443 standard that I was asked about earlier, and the readers are capable to read a 14443 standard, so could accept or could read from an NFC mobile phone. But there are no standard products, business models that have really captured any market at this stage to know exactly where that's going.
Hmm. Interesting. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Hoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for coming today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Very glad to have you here.
Turn this on. We're interested and excited about the possibilities that this represents, of course. And so, again, thank you for coming. Building off some questions that my colleague had, I have asked some folks in the community what they're interested in, and this mobile payment did come up. Mm-hmm. And I understand what you're saying, that there's not a set standard, industry standard, right?
Correct.
Okay. On the ground, how does that impact us here then? Is there a Shire Bachman standard that we can put in? Will it be possible to do that?
So it's possible to do mobile payments. The question comes down to what type of mobile payments do you want to support? What policies are you going to have as an agency around managing those mobile payments? There are applications available today that on my iPhone, an agency can, for not a lot of money, develop a small application that basically acts as a flash pass. Fairly rudimentary, but is being used by a couple of agencies across the country. There are applications that are reading barcodes. There are applications that are reading NFC phones, as I spoke about, the chip enabled phones. There's just not a when I say there's no standard, there's not a major distribution of chip enabled phones, as an example. Mm-hmm. So the interaction with the Shiny Bachman system would really be with a chip enabled phone, and there are not many of them available to the consumers yet.
Okay. So now could I then get on the bus and point my iPhone at the fare box and can they talk to each other?
No.
Okay. Is that something MCTS could add?
No, because Apple has, to date, Apple has not, has avoided having a model iPhone with a chip.
Okay, so it would take a physical chip my phone?
Yes.
Okay, is there any way to do, have a roaming hotspot on each fare box that the phone could talk to and say, I can do this too? Not talking about using
the phone. We don't need them right now, okay?
That's my middle name, Roving Hotspot.
Super Hoss, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I can sense that there's this. My question has caused a slight disturbance in your force. I was trying to find a different analogy. thank you. During earlier in your presentation, you said the mobile payment would be an interesting discussion, and I think that should be something we certainly should have. But let me bring it to what I think is in your system then. You say that it's a smart card system?
Correct.
Okay. So so I can't put my iPhone up to it and have them do the happy dance and get on. But if I had, so let's say I get on the bus in the morning, and if I put fare in to the machine, then would it give me a smart card? Or would it give me something? How would that work? For your background, you might know this as well, sir. We currently have here a paper transfer system.
Yes.
Which is a topic we discuss from time to time.
Yes.
And there is, some parties have a strong interest in getting away from that. There are problems with doing it. But I'm curious. So I get on the bus. Let's say we got all the Scheider-Bachmann systems installed. I get on the bus, put in my currently 225. Would I get a paper transfer then?
So the system is capable. Let me phrase that. The Scheider-Bachmann system is capable, has that option. I need to confer, if you would allow me, with the MCTS project manager to understand if that was part of this contract, which I believe it is not. Thank you.
So specifically, what was not part of the contract?
So the Farebox has the capability to issue either paper out of it, paper transfers, or chip limited use chip-based transfers out of the Farebox.
Okay.
But at this stage, that was not asked for as part of the project. Based upon what I understand are policy decisions being made at MCTS.
Very interesting. Okay. So then the system as we know it today, aside from the new fare boxes, would continue? I think that is the expectation then. We'd still have the paper transfers?
That's a policy, to be honest with you. That's not really a question for China Bachman.
Shaking your heads here.
Mr. Grant, would you like to come to the table and ask some of these questions? Mr. Grant, can you answer that question?
Yes. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Supervisors. So with respect to Supervisor Haas's question, the system is designed to continue to allow customers to pay cash upon boarding the bus. The system will result in the discontinuation of paper transfers, so we will not be issuing paper transfers. However, those customers who do acquire a smart card will be able to have a transfer automatically encoded onto their smart card so that when they transfer to another bus, then they would not have to pay a fare again. However, those customers that choose to pay cash would be required to pay cash upon boarding the next bus if they don't have a smart card.
Okay.
I think that addresses your question.
That is okay. Shining a lot. Thank you, Mr. Grant. Mm-hmm. So then you said that a customer can acquire a smart card. Okay. Would that happen then on the bus? Would it happen at a store? Where and how could a customer do that?
We will continue the current ReadyFare outlet system that we have throughout Milwaukee County. Customers can acquire their smart cars through those outlets or through any transit facility.
Okay.
No questions at this time, Mr. Chairman.
All right, thank you. Supervisor Bukowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to try to get into more basics versus technological. When did you guys get this contract?
July of this year.
Okay. There's been some of us that have been on this committee a long time, and the tortoise-like pace that we're going with it is very frustrating. And I'm not sure if I totally understood the whole transfer thing. That has been a bone of contention, and I would hope that you all have recognized that. I guess, have you asked the drivers, have you ever solicited any of their input at all as far as this whole process is going on?
Yeah, I hope everyone can hear me. In answer to the question, yes. As a matter of fact, we met with the drivers union and the chairman just yesterday to talk about where the status of the project is. Currently, we're in the system design phase. And as I had indicated to the union leadership and the entire steward body, as we get through this design phase and lay out the various aspects of the system, it will be our intent to bring our union friends to the table to have their input, particularly as it relates to training of mechanics, training of drivers, how the display system will look on the fare box, which is part of the heart of the system that your drivers will be using. So certainly as we go forward and we go through this system design phase, it would be our intent to certainly partner with the union and get their input as we go forward.
Well, thank you, Mr. Grant. Let me just say that when I saw the chart about the timeline, now we're going into the first quarter of 14. I've definitely felt my blood pressure rising a little bit because I know that I'll speak for myself. I thought that 2013, you know, we all turn into pumpkins if this didn't happen. So I am very concerned that now all of a sudden we've got this chart that says first quarter of 14. Is it fair or safe to say that, 3 months from now it's going to be the middle of 14? And I guess I don't necessarily like being in that predicament, and I don't really have any skin in the game because I don't drive bus. But I guess this goes back to some other conversations that we've had in this committee, and that is that if this project is going to be taking as long as it is, okay, we had asked at a previous committee meeting, you know, what's some alternatives to go with paperless transfers, okay? That obviously, and I don't need to beat a dead horse, that's the bone of contention here, okay? And so if we're going to, this is my phrase, drag our feet. I realize that it's very technical and we're up there with Phoenix and that kind of stuff, which is nice, but none of us have to deal with any of the Phoenix bus drivers. I'd like to know then, what are we doing for our drivers as far as the paperless transfer?
Well, at this point, Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, one of the outcomes of the recent budget process was a request for MCTS to once again undertake a feasibility study to look at a couple of things. That included a reduced fare, elimination of the paper transfers, and introduction of a day pass. So we are currently, once again, reviewing that, and we'll be coming back to this committee with a report on the feasibility of moving forward. Certainly we have heard, whether it be from this committee, our own staff, or from the drivers in the union, that we understand the desire to phase out the paper transfers as soon as possible. Now, I can't sit here and tell you whether or not that's feasible before we can get the system in place. that is the Scheid-Bachmann system, but we're certainly looking at whether or not that is a feasible alternative. We'll come back to the committee in April of 2013 in trying to answer that question.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure April is... I think that's way too late. I would ask, as chair of the committee, that if you could maybe put some fire underneath some feet and expedite this, I think that that would help.
Yes, it should have been coming back sometime in January or February with a report to make sure that we are moving ahead, because the number of our committee members would not even vote for the budget because of that. And that was one of the things that came through the Finance Committee, saying that they want that report as soon as possible, not in April, and looking at January and February. So we need that report as soon as possible. Supervisor Borkowski, you still have the floor.
I'm done, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Okay. Supervisor Jerzyk.
Thank you. Well, I was one of the individuals that wasn't prepared to vote for a budget with paper transfers. I want to point out that it sounds like this system that is being presented today, as well as the patch, if you will, to get us to a system like that, is going to require educating our consumers. They are not going to continue to be able to count on paper transfers, and therefore they're going to have to do something else. Now, we can provide them with some cardboard cards, very low tech, which gives them the ability to get on a bus and then get a transfer based on the kind of card they're getting. But it requires that they have some information, that they have some education, and they start to understand that transfers aren't going to be available to them. And it's a no-brainer to me. If we're going towards a system that's not going to allow them to get paper transfers anymore, that we start educating them. And I think that's the piece we keep missing. We're going to have to educate the consumers on this, and I don't think we have to wait for this system to be fully implemented before we begin that education process. And that's the piece I want us to pick up very quickly. I actually liked the proposal that Supervisor Haas had at budget, and I know he wasn't quite ready to go there, and it's because of that education piece. We've got to get the consumers out there to understand that they're not getting those paper transfers anymore, whether it's this system or the patch that we put in place until we get their system implemented. And I think that's where the bus company needs to pick up and get that education out there, because the consumers are going to have to learn we're not using paper transfers anymore. And when we get to the smart card, we will have done that education. So I would like you to get that going, please.
No, fine. Supervisor Bowen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a few more questions. It seems that this system will have some things that you might do in other locations, the other entities that we won't do. How many things are we talking about that our system will be limited in? It seems that, one, we won't be able to have the PayWave technology built in. And I'd also like to get an estimate, if we want to include that, how much more in the contract are we talking about to include that infrastructure to get something like that? And, how many things are we talking about that our system has that is going to lack the other systems will that you've done?
So I think that let me first start off and state that the system that you're getting you're getting based upon the specification that was requested. The specification, you know, from my understanding, the team at MCTS took a long time to get to that specification, worked with outside consultants to get to that specification, and it was designed to address the operating environment that's unique to MCTS. Mm-hmm. There are every agency does things a little bit differently. So for me to answer how many different functions or features would be available, I wouldn't be able to give you that answer here. There's, you know, we're one of the biggest fare collection system providers in the world. We have numerous functions and capabilities well beyond what is being implemented here. So I can't, you know, there are many, many functions. What we what we provide as a developer and a vendor of this type of equipment is the capability for MCTS to grow long-term and to be there with you as you grow long-term into new capabilities. I can't tell you today what the cost of adding PayWave or PayPass into the system would be. We would have to go back and look at you know, the system itself. I won't be able to answer that, but if that's something that you want, then please have the project staff request it, and we can do a proposal for them.
Mm-hmm. And then my next question is for Lloyd, director. Was that a discussion that was had before, I guess, the RFP was sent out or the specification was sent out? Was it seen as having PayWave as something valuable in this process?
I don't believe that was something that was discussed as part of developing the specification that resulted in the RFP supervisor development.
Okay. And just because I'm a little technologically advanced.
A lot of people don't know what PayWave is.
PayWave. So PayWave is a chip in your credit card that allows you not to swipe, but just to wave your card over a device, and it will transfer information from the card to that device that you are paying for something.
Okay.
And some phones have it, not many, but some phones have it, and my phone does, right? And Samsung has put this in their technology now. They have beat Apple. Woo! Anyway.
Okay, Supervisor, ask the question so we can move on to the next one.
Are you sponsored by them or what?
Not at all. But I think Supervisor Lipscomb was getting at a good point. If we want to be ahead of some of the things that are coming down the pipe, I think we should look at actually implementing some of these things, and if there's a cost difference, from what I am seeing, it wasn't about cost. It was just that the system just wasn't thought to have this. And if we actually look into including it, and since we have such a long timeline, I think we got time to have that discussion.
Okay.
So, now, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, Supervisor. For all the other supervisors here, unless we find a pocket. Some money, we add everything to this. We could add bells and whistles and everything else. But right now, let's stick where we're at and then have Mr. Grant look around about other things that we might have because there's opportunity. And Supervisor Lipscomb, then we have a person who wants to speak in the audience.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to get some clarification of what was just described. You were talking about waiving the credit card, but you were also then talking about your phone.
Mm-hmm.
What we saw, the smart card will be able to be it's contactless, and you're just going to move it near the sensor, and the same thing can happen with credit cards if we upgrade.
Correct.
That is what you okay. Mm-hmm. I just want to
and that's
sure
a module, it. Correct?
It's a module.
Yeah.
Correct.
All right.
Okay. I appreciate it.
Gentlemen, take a seat. Mrs. Elsimon, you would like to come and make a comment?
Mr. Chair, supervisors, thank you. We met yesterday with the team from the Farebox company. Thank you, Mr. Chair, for setting that meeting up. And at that meeting, our operators again brought up concerns, and one of the major concerns, as supervisors have mentioned, is that timeline and the use of paper transfers up until the Fareboxes are up and running. We've come before you time and time again with the concerns of our operators on the paper transfers. Nothing's been done on them. Again, you know, the abuse for the paper transfers, the safety of our operators, they've put themselves at risk over these paper transfers, and we don't see them disappearing. One of the concerns, again, that comes up is with this new Farebox system, as we heard, it's not going to spit out any kind of a paper transfer. So when you have somebody paying cash, the fare right now is $2.25. You know, and our supervisors that did try and present the case of getting rid of the paper transfers, lowering the fare, took a hit when it was $1.75, which for two rides, three rides. Now, if we're asking somebody to pay $2.25 for one ride, and they need to take two or three buses, we ask them to pay $5, $9 for their trips. We have to adjust the fares, and I don't hear that happening here at all. And if we do adjust the fares, why can't we adjust the fares now, eliminate the paper transfers, and move into this process of our fare boxes? Somehow, somebody has to be able to go from bus to bus, and not all people are going to have these smart cards. Some people are going to pay cash. And if they have to pay cash, how does that work? Are they paying the $2.25, you know, every time they take a bus? We feel that's not, you know, that's wrong. The other thing is the concern we have about who's installing the fare boxes. We were told yesterday that a company from Texas is coming up here to install our fare boxes. We have mechanics on property that can do this. We did it back in 1985 when we received these. And I go back that far. Remember, I've been with the company 32 years as a mechanic and a bus operator, and I was part of the installation project on these new fare boxes. It went smoothly. Our members did it. And, you know, with the oversight of the company that manufactured the fare boxes. So we feel, too, that not only if our members should be doing the installation, but we should bring that in to the our community. There's got to be somebody around here that can install fare boxes. As far as the technology, as far as the testing, maybe we can't do that. But our mechanic can be trained to test these fare boxes. They're going to be working on them. But the installation, I think, can be done by us or done locally. So the biggest thing, again, is our concern with these paper transfers. You know, you hear the timeline. We're going to have these transfers for another 2 years. And that's what we've been telling everybody. These aren't going away. And what do you do? I mean, our drivers are out there, and we've come before you. I hate to repeat myself over and over again, but the concerns of our operators are for their safety on the job. You've heard it where, you know, we've had our operators with, you know, knives pulled on them. They've been beaten. I don't know what more to say. These paper transfers they have to go. They're terrible out there. The abuse of them, the money that, you know, MCTS is losing on a daily basis because of the misuse of paper transfers, nothing's being done. And our operators are frustrated. And, you know, as you see, there's not a lot here today. And one of the reasons a lot of them didn't show up today is because they're frustrated. And, you know, why do we come here and nothing gets done? So I'm asking you to do something on this and act quickly. You know, we can't wait till next year before we do something on these paper transfers. You know, the next operator that gets assaulted over paper transfers, what do I do? Do I come here as the president of the union and say, you know, we tried to tell you and nothing got done, but now I have an operator in the hospital or you know, another one that was, you know, traumatized because they were threatened because they asked, why is your transfer only good? You know, is your transfers expired? And the operator's told to... you know, that's why your operators, you know, get shot. That's why you get stabbed. That's why you get beaten because you ask things like that. This has to stop, and I'm asking you to move this a lot faster and really consider what's going to happen when these new fare boxes are installed. How are people with the cash going to transfer buses? Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Any Supervisor Bukowski?
Well, Mr. Chairman, in light of that testimony, and I know that you have stated that you're going to have a report coming back from MCTS in January, could I ask that we add those two points? One is the installation by local vendors, I think, makes all the sense in the world. I'd like to have that be part of the report. And also, I'd like to have some kind of acknowledgement as to what progress we're making on eliminating the paper transfers. We hear from 998 on a continual basis that we're not getting anywhere, and I want to see some progress in that January report. So, if those two items could be added, Mr. Chairman,
they will be added, and also be added to. We had a report that we did not bring forth, but it would be in January, about all the different assaults going on.
Mr. Hare.
You going to share some light to this?
Well, Mr. Chair, first of all, Jerry Hare, Director of Audits. The audit we did of the fare box in 2009 is now on status report for December of 2013 because we know this is a long project and it's going to take some time to see real results. But in addition to the robust oversight you're providing on fare policy and fare management, I just want to remind you that in that audit we also pointed out the need for better management information. Every year you're asked to make really tough decisions about rates and routes, and while MTS is doing a great job with an archaic system, We see the fare box management system as a way to provide better data for decision making. So we're just asking that as you go forward through this implementation, you keep in mind the value of robust information that can be drawn out of the use of the electronic fare box in the new system. Thank you.
And Mr. Phillips, you have a comment too?
Good morning, Chairman, Supervisors. Mark Phillips, Contract Compliance Manager for the DV program. I just would like to caution that perhaps we entertain the locality issue or using local installation firms with our corporation counsel. As this is a federal procurement, we cannot place directly local participation or geographic preference on the award of contracts, but definitely using internal departmental staff with MTS may definitely be an option.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay. Supervisor Bowen?
Thank you.
We're going to wrap this up pretty soon.
Yeah, I know we want to. I just want to confirm the point that Director Hare just made about information collecting. Is that a part of this system as well? Can we gather that information from the system? I would hope that isn't an addition that we have to pay for.
I hope not either. That's one of the major features that you'll get with the system is almost an overload of data in terms of what can be taken. It is an electronic system. There's much, much more data on ridership routes than what is available today.
Gotcha. So, yes. And that's something that's housed internally. They can do that.
There are standard reports. There are some custom reports, and they also have access to the data with the way that it's being implemented here.
Definitely. Thank you, sir.
Okay, any other questions? Supervisor Haas, you'll be the last one.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Well, thank you for that, Officer. Okay. I just want to confirm a couple of points here, please. We know the customers can acquire the smart cards at the outlets. There are many outlets across the county where this can be done. So let's say I'm going to ride, I need to take 3 buses. Okay, I don't have a smart card, though. So do I have to pay the full fare each time I get on the bus?
That's a policy question, sir.
Here we go. That is a policy question.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman and Supervisor, you know, in brief answer to that question, you know, one of the steps that will be necessary as we go forward towards implementation of the Scheidenbachmann fare collection system is the need to come back to this committee and discuss what has been briefly called the fare tariff. That is essentially the fare structure that will be applied for the transit system. So in answer to the question, you know, we'll have to come back before this committee and talk about things such as will there be a cost for the smart card? We're looking at implementing a day pass. What will be the cost of the day pass? Knowing that we will not be issuing transfers, then what should be the adult fare for operating the service? So those decisions have not been made just yet, and it would be certainly our goal to come back before the committee early in the year to have that discussion well in advance of the system being installed.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, some more questions. Thank you. Is it too soon to know how if a person gets on the bus and they want to use the pass, the smart card, that is, how can you tell us how that would work? Would it be akin to currently you get on the bus, you put in your cash, put in your ticket, show your pass?
So I think if on the video we tried to illustrate that, but the person, customer gets on the bus with their card, they tap their card on the reader, they get an indication that it's a valid pass or a valid ride. The bus operator also gets an indication on their screen, and away they go.
Okay. And would it be possible to, so I have a smart card, could I go to a website and add money to it?
That is part of the project, sir.
It's part of the project?
Yes.
Okay, so that's not going to be an extra upgrade that we'll have to get on top of?
No.
Good. Okay, that's good news. Thank you. And this is more a question for Mr. Grant. So we do face a transit cliff at the end of next year. You know, with this federal grant that we have that paid for the express buses, it largely preserved the current transit system, is expected to dry up. I don't want to see it happen where the system implodes, but my question is, should we hit this transit cliff? Would that delay the implementation of the new fare boxes?
It should not delay.
Okay. Then two or three more questions. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. They're good questions. Don't worry, sir.
Supervisor, speed it up. You got plenty of time to ask these questions. Come on.
We have
the transit slash script. Come on. Let's go.
So what is the warranty on these boxes?
1 year.
Okay. And how is the information from the fare boxes fed to the management, the transit management?
He's reading this from you.
These are great informational systems. They gather all kinds of data. So they go by radio, wireless internet, or?
It's transferred wirelessly into the our central support system, our back end management system.
Okay. Good. And again, then on the installation of the boxes, that there's a federal requirement that prevents us from having it specified that local, so that MCTS can do it, or Ms. Phillips? I was very confused as to that.
Yes, Chair and Supervisors, on federal procurements, you cannot put a geographic preference on where your vendor comes from and different things. You can in your RFP request that certain portions of those fundings be broken out based on certain requirements or prerequisites, but I'm just cautioning that we'd be in line with federal regulations on that. We could not mandate that they utilize someone local. We do have DBE participation on that that Shite Botman has put forward, so they did comply with that aspect of it. And there is nominal participation in that installation component, but the installation component really is not as significant a component as the actual fare boxes and the system design itself.
Mr. Chairman, if I can add.
Mr. Grant.
Being that we're on the topic, I certainly will address it as you requested as part of my next report, but I should be clear with the committee that the contract that we have with Shine and Bachman is a contract that requires that contractor do the installation. If we're going to look to do something differently, that means a change in the contract, which would have to be negotiated with Shine and Bachman.
Okay. I thank the gentleman from Shiner Bachman, and I thank you for your patience, Mr. Chairman.
You're welcome, Supervisor. Any other questions? Since there's no other questions, thank you very much for coming. Ms. Rowe, will you please come forward, please? Pat Rowe.